Morning, brothers and sisters. My remarks today will be given over Ezekiel chapters 15 and 16. Just an extremely quick overview of what we've studied so far. Ezekiel's name means God will strengthen. The time period is around the time after Israel was taken and before Judah was all the way taken over. It's mostly talked about the cherubim in chapter 1, and then from there it's mostly talked about Israel and how they have done wrong and going to be punished. Chapters 15 and 16 continue this theme. In chapter 15, it talks of a vine. It points out how useless it can be. It can't be used as lumber, as trees can. It can't even be used as a peg. We all should know what a vine is, but we don't always look at them and think of how little use they often are. They are a plant that grows on things that sometimes has flowers or thorns. A lot of times, they are for decoration, and occasionally, they are just a nuisance. But there are vines that grow fruit, like grapevines. The main thing that vines can do that can come into actual use is growing fruit. Here's a thought that may not actually say it in this chapter, but it does make sense to me. Because of the vine's main use being that it grows fruit, it could represent how Israel wasn't producing fruits and was therefore not being of use. They were God's people, but they still wouldn't listen to what he commanded, and God does not have use for people who do not listen to him. And to me, this seems to give the allegory a lot more meaning. Israel, at the time, was as useless as a vine without fruit, and because of this, it continues on saying how it is to be cast into the fire for fuel. This represents how they are going to be punished. Babylon eventually took over the whole of Judah. Another thought I had was how it could be significant that the vine clings on something else for support, whether it be a rock or a tree. God should be our support, our tree to cling on. This is how we grow and flourish. As soon as we try to not use him as our support, then we have to no other place to grow. Judah needed to use God for their support, but when they disobeyed him and went to other nations, they paid for it. This isn't the first time Israel has been compared to a vine. It is also compared to a vine in Psalms 80, verses 8 through 19. I'll give you a little bit of time to turn to it if you'd like. It's Psalms chapter 80, starting in verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room for it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs into the sea, and her branches into the river. Why hast thou then broke down her hedges, so that they all should pass by the way to pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of armies, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You can see the resemblance in this chapter to the one we are studying. Not only is Israel compared to a vine, but it is also punished. It talks about the beast destroying it, and it also talks about it being burned, just like in Ezekiel chapter 15. Another place where Israel is compared to a vine is in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Again, I'll let you have time to turn to it if you'd like. Starting in verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. This chapter actually points out how important bearing fruits is. While they did bear some fruits in this chapter, they were wild fruits, and not what God was looking for. This can also be an example for us, as it says in Luke chapter 3, verse 8, "Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance." And it also explains what fruits are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. We should all strive to have these things and serve God with our whole heart." Moving on, so we don't run out of time, we will look at the second chapter of this morning's study, that is, chapter 16. In this chapter, it compares Israel to an unfaithful wife. For the first part of the chapter, it talks about Jerusalem being this unfaithful wife. Then it gets into how she's going to be punished for it. And then Judah is compared to her sisters Sodom and Samaria. Finally, it finishes it off on a positive note, saying God will remember his covenant with Israel. It starts off the chapter showing how God took Israel under his care. He helped Israel to prosper, as it says in verse 13, "Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, and bordered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom." In Ezekiel 16, verses 14, "And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through thy comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But Israel forsake God and went after other nations." This is where Jerusalem is compared to a harlot. The reason Jerusalem is called a harlot here is because they went astray from God, corrupted themselves for gain, and mingled with the nations, and learned and tolerated their ways. Jerusalem isn't the only city to have been called a harlot. There's also Sodom, Samaria, and Rome. In Ezekiel chapter 23, it talks about Samaria being a harlot, and in Revelation chapter 17, it talks about Rome being a whore. But not only was Jerusalem called a harlot in Ezekiel chapter 16, but it also says that she gives gifts to her lovers. As if just being a harlot wasn't bad enough, this is much worse. Of course, it is all figurative of how Jerusalem was willingly becoming wicked and mingling with other nations. One of the most important lessons we can learn from this chapter is to stay away from the things of the world. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate." Just how much trouble Israel had with it goes to show how serious it can be. Being at high is a good way to avoid much of the world for a while and be around brothers and sisters. When we go back to our daily lives is when we really need to keep in mind how important it is to keep ourselves separate, to be in the world but not of the world. Hopefully this talk has helped y'all to understand these chapters better, and I'm curious to hear what everyone else has to say. Thank you.